The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now on 960 The Patriot, it's the Middle East Radio Forum, your chance to talk about the turmoil in the Middle East. Questions are welcome at radioforum at AOL.com. That's radioforum at AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Meir Jolovitz.
Hi, greetings and thank you for joining us. Welcome to Middle East Radio Forum, the weekly program unafraid to tackle the issues of the day. Ours is the radio and internet broadcast which offers a bold and unapologetic view of Middle East affairs. Every Sunday on Middle East Radio Forum, we recognize and readily identify the struggle between competing civilizations, ideologies, and cultures, between Western values and those dedicated to upending them. On Middle East Radio Forum, we offer an analysis of the Arab war against Israel that too many others are afraid to address. On Middle East Radio Forum, we expose the fraudulent pursuit of peace, which demands that Israel surrender its territory and its security for a very bogus endeavor by Israel's Arab neighbors to real peace. It is the reason that starting with the Oslo Accords in 1993, every single peace conference has been a deceptive sham, and invariably and inevitably, Israel is blamed for its failure to generate any measure of peace. On Middle East Radio Forum, we refuse to surrender to the falsehood that has become the prevailing narrative that the conflict is now redefined as Israeli-Palestinian. It is, but it not ought to be. That is a historic and political lie which underscores the duplicitous deceit, which underscores much of what we talk about here in Middle East Radio Forum. Blind to the obvious, even Israel's friends, real and disingenuous, have accepted the distorted interpretation of this conflict, misrepresented and misunderstood. It is a case we have argued in this broadcast many times, which is best categorized under willful blindness. Today, as we examine some of the news stories, we continue with an ongoing and unapologetic assault on those perjurers of history. Regular listeners know this too. Our accusatory finger is pointed not only at Israel's enemies, but also at its so-called friends who are the gullible victims of this betrayal and just don't see it. Yes, it was Helen Keller who famously said, "The only thing worse than being blind is having sight, but no vision." My name is Meir Jolovitz. I'm pleased to co-host the show with William Wolf, where we are usually featured on alternate Sundays. Our topic today: the majority of the nations of the world fault Israel, not for anything it does or fails to do, but rather that it exists at all. The time is long overdue to tell them to go to hell. Today is June 4th, 2023. Tomorrow, June 5th, is the 56th anniversary of the outbreak of the Six-Day War in 1967. The Six-Day War, one of the incredible achievements which transformed the modern Jewish state. It is the war where Israel liberated and united all of Jerusalem. It is the miracle that seems the equal of other biblical milestones of Jewish history. It was the episodic event which brought the Jewish nation one step closer to redemption, Geula, and which has been used by Israel's adversaries instead to vilify Israel. It was the Jewish fist in the face of an anti-Jewish world. It was a glorious event that many of us were blessed to have actually witnessed. More on that later today. A reminder, this program can be heard live anywhere in the world on our website, www.MiddleEastRadioForum.com, and also at www.960thepatriot.com. Also this: our show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at 9 p.m. here in Arizona. This past week, an innocent Israeli, 32-year-old father of two, fell victim to another terrible terrorist attack, murdered for being Jewish in the Jewish homeland. J Street, which supports everything that the Palestinian Authority does, remained typically silent. So did other self-professed progressive organizations, including those who profess to be Jewish. But the Palestinian Arabs did not remain silent. They celebrated in the streets. After all, more Jewish blood was spilled. Almost 2 weeks ago, J Street, that spineless anti-Israel organization, posted its last editorial press release. Its title, J Street Welcomes Biden Administration's National Strategy for Combating Anti-Semitism. How ironic, coming from an organization which, by virtue of its support of the Palestinian Authority and its unbridled disdain for Israel, is itself anti-Semitic. How hypocritical that the organization has never written a single editorial condemning the anti-Semitism of those who murder Jews. And how typically liberal, how typically leftist, how typically George Soros Democratic they are. Much more on that also later. As we begin the broadcast each week, we, of course, turn to Yoni Titi. Every Sunday, Yoni offers a bold and a different perspective, the proper perspective. Yoni, good to have you join us again.
Mary, you want to know how to fight anti-Semitism?
Tell me, my friend.
With your fist or accurate fire to the anti-Semite's face.
I'm going to repeat, by the way, last week I did a piece which I received so much email and text support for, and I did an abbreviated piece because the time was short last week, How to Handle the Peace Activists. And because of the response that I received personally, a lot of people don't have my email, I'm going to do that again today. So those of you out there who want to know how to handle peace activists, have your pens ready. Anyhow, what's up, Yoni?
Did she somehow know? Posted by Leah Ben-Noon. Contains a soundtrack. The lyrics start, "It is time to say goodbye. Until we meet again, this is not the end. There will come a day that will be okay. Violins playing, angels crying," and the lyrics continue on. Leah Ben-Noon. Ohad Dahan. Uri Yitzhak Ilus. Were IDF soldiers. They were murdered by an Egyptian police officer on the Israeli border with Egypt. Of course, these murders would not have happened if the border between Israel and Egypt was the Suez Canal. But we gave up the Sinai. We were so smart. The Marxist administration of Brandon, the faller, is seeking to step in at the last in talks between Israel and the Saudis to try and take credit for the success. Return, they want to enter into a new deal that will keep Israel from attacking Iran's nuclear weapons. Israel should learn a lesson. Democratic presidents by the name of Carter, Obama, and Brandon the Faller are not our friends. They collaborate with our enemies with a smile on their face. Speaking of not our friends, at CUNY Law School graduation, the crowd got to hear Fatima Musa Mohammed, an immigrant from Yemen, blast Israel as indiscriminate murders. NYPD is fascist. She called for a revolution to overthrow the United States of America. In a normal country, this terrorist revolutionary would be deported back to Yemen. Let her mouth off to the jihadis in her own country so that she can get a punishment that the U.S. hopefully will never be able to hand out. I can hear the Marxist morons that support J Street crying about Yoni being hateful and mean. I'm not hateful, and I'm not mean. I just happen to know that the U.S. is currently losing in a Marxist revolution. Revolution and civil war are brutal events. So if we can get rid of one revolutionary the easy way, why not? In keeping with my new closing feature, Israel was just ranked as one of the leaders in medical and digital health fields. They cited the recent advancements in Alzheimer's, cancer, and heart disease brought to the world by Israel. They also pointed out that Israel is among the leaders in the field of longevity. What is longevity, you ask? It is the understanding that old age is soon no longer going to be the norm, but rather it'll be treated like any other illness. That is to say, we will not get old, because the clock ticks for all of us, so we are going to get old. We're just not going to get older. Remember, rather have somebody not suffer the decline that comes with age. Imagine being 130 years old, but with the mind, body, and ability of a 30-year-old. Welcome to the future, brought to you by that evil fascist state, Israel.
Yeah. And by the way, just for clarification, Yoni, the Egyptian who was ultimately neutralized actually killed those three Israeli soldiers after having penetrated into Israel. And what is the Israeli government's response today, Bibi? We demand a full accounting by the Egyptians. We want them to investigate this fully. Isn't it wonderful? They kill Jews, and we ask them to investigate.
Hey, look, have I ever been a follower or a lover of Bibi Netanyahu, yeah. Bibi the Worthless?
Yeah.
As a young man, he had courage beyond belief. As a politician, he is a Quisling.
Which is the case of many Israeli generals. I'm going to mention one today, and I'm also going to mention an Israeli innovation and compare it to what the Arabs do. Yoni, once again, until next week, thank you so much.
All right, take care.
As I mentioned, tomorrow marks the 56th anniversary of the beginning of the Six-Day War. It was the war that changed everything in the Middle East. It was the war where David once again slew Goliath. It was the war that taught us one valuable lesson. The lesson that seems forgotten by too many supporters of the State of Israel today. The 1967 Six-Day War reminds us that Israel always stands alone, and that the fate of the Jewish nation can never be trusted to others. Historians will remind us, of course, that the immediate causes of the war included a series of escalating steps taken by the Arabs at the time, including the Syrian-Egyptian military pact, which Jordan and Iraq later joined. It included the expulsion of the UN emergency force from the Sinai Peninsula that Yoni was referring to, and the concentration of large Egyptian forces there. And finally, historians remind us that it was started by the closure by Egypt of the Straits of Tehran to Israel's shipping, which of course constituted an act of war against Israel. When Jordan, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Syria, and Lebanon moved their forces towards the Israeli borders, Israel mobilized its reserve forces and launched a diplomatic campaign, as they're being asked to launch every day in our present time, diplomatic campaign to win international support, to end the Egyptian blockade of Israel and the shipping through the Straits of Tehran. And the world stood silent. Having failed to get the world to demand an end to the impending Arab onslaught, and in reaction to the unprecedented Arab threats to wipe Israel out, the war began with an Israeli preemptive aerial strike on June 5th, 1967. Yes, it was, rightly and morally, a preemptive strike. It ended 6 days later with an historic Israeli victory, a victory of biblical proportions. But much has been forgotten, much too much, but not by the real supporters of Israel. Let me read you a paragraph from one of the most important books written by Rabbi Meir Kahana. This passage is from Listen World, Listen Jew. Listen carefully. For those of you who were around in the days prior to the Six-Day War, you'll remember this exactly. Forgotten are the 1967 pronouncements from Cairo, Damascus, Amman, Beirut, Baghdad, and Fatah. Forgotten are the pledges to throw us into the sea, wash Tel Aviv clean with Jewish blood, and eliminate the gangster state of Israel. Forgotten are the insanity borders that saw the coastal strip with its 1 million Jews under the guns of Arab armies just 12, 13, 15 kilometers away. Forgotten is the shell that swept into Masaryk Square in Tel Aviv, and the Egyptian planes just minutes away from the heartland. forgotten are our own projections of tens of thousands of soldiers and perhaps 50,000 civilians to die, dead. Forgotten are the borders that saw settlements, Jewish settlements, lying naked behind the Golan, beneath the Golan Syrian guns, the hills of Ephraim dominating Tel Aviv and its sister cities, and the Sinai with its Egyptian armada within spitting distance of the cities of Zion. But most of all is forgotten is the hate, the bitter enmity, the solemn pledge of extermination, the school textbooks with their poisonous venom. Forgotten is the glee and ecstasy of May and June 1967, when the mobs in Cairo, Damascus, Amman, and Baghdad lashed out in anticipation of a greater slaughter. Forgotten is the fact that the haters of Zion intended nothing less than the destruction of the entire Jewish state in any size, shape, or form. Forgotten is this too. They wanted to slaughter Jews. But we remember. What a powerful and poignant piece. It's a message lost to many. Today, 56 years later, even the so-called friends of Israel have forgotten. These weak-kneed people are confused, weary of the decades-old struggle, and they've accepted the insanity of a two-state delusion. With an anorexic appetite for the truth, they've surrendered their common sense. And they bring to mind that famous comment by H.L. Mencken. No one in this world, so far as I know, and I've searched the record for years and employed agents to help me, has ever lost money by underestimating the intelligence of the great masses of the plain people. Yes, it's what we talk about often, the myth of Jewish intelligence and the fraudulent so-called friends of Israel who pressure Israel to make further and further concessions. When we come back, more of the painful truth.
Dassault and Macros are my business and personal CPAs for a good reason. Prompt and accurate work means I trust them with all my accounting needs. Conveniently located just off the 51 freeway at 3519 East Shea Boulevard, Suite 122, give them a call and see what they can do for you. 602-996-8885. That's Dassault and Macros, 602-996-8885.
Shuttleman Physical Medicine, Chiropractic, and Acupuncture is your go-to medical office in the West Valley. Call 623-214-7600. That's 623-214-7600. With two offices to serve you, there is no reason to stay in pain when Dr. Shuttleman may be able to help you. Call 623-214-7600 for Shuttleman Physical Medicine, Chiropractic, and Acupuncture.
Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 295 in Scottsdale has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 17 years. Founding partner Carmen Ciccone has over 36 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Watermark Wealth Strategies, LLC, is not affiliated with Kestra Investment Services or Kestra Advisory Services.
Thanks for listening to Middle East Radio Forum. I am your host and creator of the show, Attorney William Wolf. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association and have been in practice since 1971. I handle injury and wrongful death claims and do go to court if necessary to achieve the best possible results for all my clients. It is often impossible to achieve full value if your attorney does not have the reputation of being willing to go to court on all matters. The high-volume, impersonal TV and billboard attorneys do not have that reputation. The insurance companies know who is willing to work for full value and adjust their settlement offers accordingly. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. My phone is 602-279-1914. I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you.
You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. Questions are welcome at radioforum at AOL.com. That's radioforum at AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Mayor Jolovitz.
Hi, welcome back. Thank you for joining us. Let me make this brief announcement. Those of you who listen to us on a regular basis heard this already, but there are others who might not have. So, Attorney William Wolf, founder of Middle East Radio Forum, almost 21 years ago, actually, is going to be stepping away from the microphone for 2 months, just temporarily, to recover from a medical procedure. Therefore, there'll be no broadcast of Middle East Radio Forum in July and August. Middle East Radio Forum comes back in September with all the fury that had been that you've become accustomed to, as I said last week. And, of course, we wish Bill well. I'm not sure, and Bill will be here next week, so maybe he'll clarify. It might be that we might have some repeat broadcasts during those 2 months. I'd mention in my opening comment the 32-year-old father of two who was gunned down in Israel by terrorists because he was a Jew. His name was Meir Tamari. His wife, Tal, made a comment which was picked up by an Israeli newspaper. Here's what she said. This is what his wife said while mourning death of her husband, father of her two children. She said this: "This could have been avoided. Lives were cruelly taken away from us. There's no reason we should have to leave the house and not come back, not in our own country. This is not an accepted reality. We need to be protected. If the checkpoint was active, Meir would have been here today. It's our natural right to be here. This is our land. Compared to terrorists who sanctify death, we sanctify life. We will continue to live here, raise children, and we will be happy." She was making reference to the fact that Israel, as a conciliatory gesture to the Biden administration, has actually lessened the checkpoints and the pressures put against the Palestinians who've been entering, Palestinian Arabs who've been entering Israel, many of them with ill intent. This family certainly found that out. So she's calling the Israeli government to stand firm, as we always have. You know, it was 56 years ago after this, the liberation that we talked about from the Six-Day War. It was also the liberation then of Jerusalem. And yet Israel today is still fighting for its right to its own capital. Now, just to clarify, President Donald Trump didn't decide that Jerusalem was Israel's rightful capital in December 2017. King David did that 3,021 years before. Now, Jerusalem has stood at the center of the Jewish people's national and spiritual life ever since King David made it its capital, the capital of the Jewish kingdom, in the year 1003 BCE. In the aftermath of Israel's Six-Day War victory in 1967, Israel, in July of 1980, also invoked the Jerusalem Law. The Knesset passed the Jerusalem Law, then as part of the country's basic law, which declared that Jerusalem was, quote, the unified capital of Israel. The United States officially recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel on December 6, 2017, and it moved its capital there in May 2018. But proponents of the insanity of a two-state delusion want that reversed, including a lot of American Jews and a lot of American Jewish organizations who don't understand the consequences of this two-state delusion. Insanity prevails, and it prevails on steroids. It was the outrageous rock star, Frank Zappa, who I've quoted before, who said the following many, many years ago: "Some scientists claim that hydrogen, because it is so plentiful, is the basic block of the universe. The basic building block of the universe. I dispute that. I say there's more stupidity than hydrogen, and that the basic building block of the universe is stupidity, and it also has a longer shelf life. If you observe the Middle East, you would certainly know that to be true. Let me read you a couple of little news pieces, and then I'm going to come back with a commentary. Here's a news story from a few days ago. It's noteworthy in the message that it delivers, portraying the radical change in the manner which Israel responds to its enemies today, as opposed to yesteryear, let's just say in 1967, with that preemptive strike against an eventual or an impending onslaught of the Jewish state. There's been a change in all those years, and it's change in the wrong direction. Here's the headline from a few days ago. IDF soldiers jailed for burning a PLO flag. The subtitle of that story, two soldiers were sent to 14 and 15 days in jail in an IDF detention center for burning a flag and upholding the footage and uploading the footage on social media. A short description, the head of the IDF's Coed Lavi Habika's infantry battalion, Lieutenant Colonel Ariel Barbar, sentenced two soldiers to an extensive prison term for burning a PLO flag and filming the act. One corporal was filmed burning the PLO flag at her outpost and was sentenced to 15 days of detention. An additional soldier, a sergeant, was tried for filming her friend in the act and posting the video on social media. She was sentenced to 14 days detention. A pro-Israel advocacy group claims the punishment was, of course, excessive. Here's what they said. It appears that the flag of terror is sentimental not only at Tel Aviv University, where we see it every day, or at the anti-government protest, where we've seen it now for 22 consecutive weeks. The IDF disciplinary system, its military prosecutor, follows suit and cracks down in a bizarre manner at the expense of its own soldiers. We call on the chief of staff, Chezi Halevi, to annul the disproportionate punishment. The IDF spokesman, by the way, said that the behavior of these two soldiers was inconsistent with the IDF code of ethics. It's incredible. People demonstrate all over Israel. They demonstrate all over Israel with the PLO flag, which calls for the elimination of the state of Israel, and no one has a problem with it. And when two brave Jewish girls, soldiers, take down that flag, they're imprisoned by the IDF. Just imagine, and I won't go there, imagine this is 1944, and some British soldier burns a Nazi flag, and of course Churchill has him imprisoned. We're sick. We're truly sick. How sick? Here's the next news story. Former MK, member of Knesset, Yair Golan, says if the Haredim, who are the ultra-religious in Israel, don't serve in the army, we won't either. Yair Golan believes that the government should change its policy and threaten. If the reservists are asked to serve in the Israeli army and the religious ultra-Orthodox, the reservists shouldn't. And he actually says, I'm going to quote very quickly because we have a commercial break. We have a lot of tools left in our hands. Up to now, it's been a soft fight with nonviolent disobedience, demonstrations, strikes, civil disobedience. But there should be a clear message to the government. We will not show up to duty. The country sends me at risk my life and obligates me. If the government reneges on its commitment to its citizens and denies me my basic freedoms as a citizen, there's no reason for me to serve this government. Now, Golan, by the way, who's known for his inflammatory remarks, is a former deputy chief of the IDF, chief of staff of the IDF. He supports, by the way, a PLO states. He thinks Mahmoud Abbas is a peace partner, Mahmoud Abbas of the Pay for Slave program, which I'll talk about a little later. This same Yair Golan, who considers a murderer of Jews to be a friend, is critical of the ultra-religious and says that if they don't fight for the Israeli army, we shouldn't fight either. What a wonderful general he must have been. Now, let's understand something. These comments come from the former IDF deputy chief of staff, proof once again that the left in Israel has lost not only its directions, it's lost its soul. And believe me, Israel's enemies have certainly taken notice. When we come back, more of this. And yes, I'm going to get to it. I just had a text message sent to me saying, how do we handle peace activists? When we come back, I'm going to tell you how we handle peace activists. We'll be right back.
I am William Wolf, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on the show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914.
Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 295 in Scottsdale. Has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 17 years. Founding partner Carmen Ciccone has over 36 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Watermark Wealth Strategies, LLC, is not affiliated with Kestra Investment Services or Kestra Advisory Services.
Gilligan's on Maryland, on the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland, is much more than just a great Shell station and mini mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum, check them out in the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland in Phoenix. That's Gilligan's on Maryland. Phone number 602-277-6269.
If you need heart surgery, do you choose your surgeon from an ad on TV or a billboard? Of course not. Choosing your accident attorney also should not be done so casually and without thought. I am William Wolf, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on this show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914. No charge for our first meeting, and I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. That's 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you and working to achieve the best possible results for your injury claim.
You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. Questions are welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Mayor Jolovitz.
Hi, welcome back. We aren't just analysts and commentators in this radio show. We serve as your life coach as well. We're going to give you some advice right now. Last week I presented an old piece, not an original, about the proper response for handling these peace activists, as they call themselves, these progressive voices who've actually infected the Western world. And by the way, they're not very peaceful, are they? But because of time constraints last week, I abbreviated a few points. I received, as I said, a number of emails and text messages asking me to repeat the piece, and I'm going to do that now. I used to have this hanging in my office wall for about 15 years. How to handle the peace activists, rules of etiquette, and the impending war. Now, truth be told, most people don't know how to react to these peace activists. So we've prepared this guide. When you come upon one of these peace activists, these people, call themselves progressive, here's the proper way to respond. One, listen politely while this person explains their views. Strike up a conversation if necessary and look very interested in their ideas. They will tell you how revenge is immoral, and that by attacking the people who visit, who do things to you, we only bring on more violence. They will probably use many arguments ranging from political to religious to humanitarian. Two, in the middle of their remarks, without any warning, punch them right in the nose. Three, when the person gets up off the ground, they will be very angry and they may try to hit you, so be careful. Four, very quickly and calmly, remind that person that violence only brings more violence, and remind them of their stand on this particular matter. Tell them that if they're really committed to a nonviolent approach to undeserved attacks, they will turn the other cheek and negotiate a solution. Tell them that they must lead by example if they're really to believe what they themselves are saying. Five, most of them will think for a moment and then agree that you are indeed correct. Six, as soon as they do that, hit them again. Only this time, hit them much harder. Square in the nose. Seven, repeat steps 2 to 6 until the desired results are obtained and the idiot realizes how stupid an argument he or she is making. And finally, 8. There's no difference in an individual attacking an unsuspecting victim or group of terrorists attacking a nation of people. It's unacceptable, and it must be dealt with, perhaps at a high cost. We owe our soldiers a huge debt for what they do and are about to do for us and our children. We must support them and our leaders at times like these. We have no choice. We either strike back very hard, we'll keep getting hit in the nose. This is wonderful. That should have been included in the Bible. Who knows? Maybe it was. Okay. Let me get to another piece of the absurdity. Israeli researchers, and I'm doing this as a juxtaposition of the contributions to humanity. You can still think of me as your life coach. This is a juxtaposition of the contributions of humanity, and since we talked about in the beginning of the show, difference of cultures and civilizations, let's attack it one more time. Headline, just 2 days ago, Israeli researchers say they have solved the mystery of early galaxies. Wow. Subtitle, Hebrew University astrophysicists propose a solution to the mystery of the formation of early massive galaxies. And just to give a little perspective, and then the juxtaposition, let me just read you this. The findings naturally explain recent observations conducted using the James Webb Space Telescope, which revealed a surprising excess of massive galaxies in the universe already in the first half billion years after the Big Bang, contrary to the commonly accepted theory today. It goes on a little later on to say, already in the first half billion years, researchers identified galaxies that each contain about 10 billion stars like our own sun, said Professor Deckel. This discovery surprised researchers who tried to identify plausible explanations for the puzzle, ranging from the possibility that the observational estimate of the number of stars in the galaxies is exaggerated to suggest the need for critical changes in the standard cosmological model of the Big Bang. It's brilliant. I actually read the piece, the scientific piece. The things that the Israelis are doing, in addition to medicine and high tech and agriculture and everything else that we speak about. These are the accomplishments of the state that most of the world doesn't want to support. But let's do a juxtaposition to be fair about this. What about the Air Palestinian scientists? Yes, I can report, it's been researched, that they are working aggressively to find a new way to make a car bomb that'll be undetected, or a suicide bomb belt that isn't heavy when the mother has to place it around the waist of her daughter. I tell you, we've lost our mind. Well, we haven't. They have. And once a week in Middle East Radio Forum for 60 minutes, we sit in studio, we analyze the news from the Middle East, painful as it is, and we point that accusatory finger at the enemies of Israel and the so-called friends of Israel who've aligned themselves with those enemies. Commercial break. When we come back, you know what? Let's go after J Street. Yeah, we'll do that.
Thanks for listening to Middle East Radio Forum. I am your host and creator of the show, Attorney William Wolf. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association and have been in practice since 1971. I handle injury and wrongful death claims and do go to court if necessary to achieve the best possible results for all my clients. It is often impossible to achieve full value if your attorney does not have the reputation of being willing to go to court on all matters. The high-volume, impersonal TV and billboard attorneys do not have that reputation. The insurance companies know who is willing to work for full value and adjust their settlement offers accordingly. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. My phone is 602-279-1914. I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you.
Gilligan's on Maryland, on the northwest corner of 7th Street and Maryland, is much more than just a great Shell station and mini mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum. Check them out in the northwest corner of 7th Street and Maryland in Phoenix. That's Gilligan's on Maryland. Phone number 602-277-6269.
Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe has terrific sushi, salads, rice and noodle dishes, soup, and even great pasta. On the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback, it will become your favorite Asian restaurant. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum for more than 10 years, it is simply the best place for a great Asian lunch or dinner. That's Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe on the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback. Tell them that William Wolf sent you there. Telephone 602-248-9090.
If you need heart surgery, do you choose your surgeon from an ad on TV or a billboard? Of course not. Choosing your accident attorney also should not be done so casually and without thought. I am William Wolf, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on this show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914. No charge for our first meeting, and I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. That's 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you and working to achieve the best possible results for your injury claim.
You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. Questions are welcome at radioforum at AOL.com. That's radioforum at AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Mayor Jolovitz.
Hi, welcome back. Thank you for joining us. This piece will be scientific. We're talking about that species of animal, small brain, no backbone. Now, over the years, we have, with every logical and moral justification, attacked the progressive left for its demonization of Israel and for the left's support of the Islamic organizations which brazenly deny Israel's right to exist. Fact, fact, and fact. One can try to spin the facts as they wish, which is part of the progressive DNA, but one should not be excused if it ignores the truth. The left treads on the intellectual truth with filthy jackboots. They are the real fascists. Ever more disturbing is the role played by the American Jewish organizations, which add fuel to this fire. We're talking about J Street, the New Israel Fund, the Jewish Voice for Peace, and other well-financed apologists of those who actually murder Jews. Even though none of these organizations are actually practitioners of anything remotely Jewish, they claim that connection to better vilify the Jewish state. Hi, I'm black, and I support slavery. Even though enough of these organizations have attacked Israel, we need to fight back. They are sick. They are a deranged lot, medically and morally. There is an applicable psychiatric term, by the way, this is true, for that type of self-hatred. It's a pathological psychosis. Remember when O.J. Simpson, in a candid interview, after he was falsely exonerated of his wife's murder, said the following, "Well, if I did murder her, wouldn't that prove just how much I really loved her?" Yes, he actually said that. He actually said that. It's the same with the half-wits of J Street. They actually suggest that their criticism of Israel, even in complete compliance with the genocidal policies of Israel's declared enemies, is, and are you ready for this insanity, proof that they love Israel. This is the deranged father who puts out his lighted cigarette butts on the forearm of his own young son to get him to better behave. This is the pathological psychosis of some very troubled souls. Now, even when we've called these leftist charlatans brainless, which they are, imbeciles, which they are, and yes, at times morons, all very accurate designations, they apparently do not have the capacity, they apparently do have the capacity to function in society. After all, most J Street supporters are able to find their way home at night, some even without the use of GPS. Most, we assume, also know how to use a turner blinker in a car or to flush the toilet without having to summon their spouses. And yet, when it comes to understanding that the good guys in the Middle East are not the jihadis who actually have a pay-for-slave program, they cannot fully digest that. Just in case some of these spineless leftist stooges have been lucky enough to find this broadcast on radio or the internet, we will use just one example, and it's a good example, to illustrate our point. We're going to use the pay-for-slave program. Now, let me begin by randomly grabbing, and that's exactly what I did. I randomly grabbed five different news stories from the past 20 months. I grabbed five random news stories. I have about 15 or 17 in my archives, my repository of information on the pay-for-slave. These five should make the point. Now, while I briefly address each one, remember this, because it's the most important point. We know that an Arab-Palestinian organization, Palestinian Authority, calls for Israel's destruction, that they are, in fact, the modern Nazi beast that feasts on the blood of Jews, as they did just a few days ago and a few days before. They, who want Palestine to be Judenrein, free of Jews, ethnic cleansing, and they don't deny it. Israel, J Street tells us, will be home to Arabs and Jews. Palestine will be home to Arabs, no Jews. But the point that we want to make here is about an organization like the Jackals of J Street, who invite the leaders of these genocidal movements as keynote speakers at J Street's annual national conference. Again, this is pathological psychosis. Remember, most of them are smart enough to hold a job. And yet, we are expected to believe that they aren't smart enough to understand that the people that they are in bed with actually call for the elimination of Israel. They join ranks with these people voluntarily. Yes, these people are devoid of any moral compass. Now, let me briefly illustrate the point that I'm talking about. Here are the headlines of five news stories from the past less than 2 years. I'm going to grab them in chronological order, not that it makes any difference. Palestinian Authority, headline, Palestinian Authority admits all Palestinian terrorists sent by the PA receive orders from us. Mahmoud Abbas, a spokesman of the Palestinian Authority, said about the terrorist in Israeli prison, someone who acts on our behalf and receives orders from us deserves our support. Therefore, they pay for slay. They pay them. And as you know, if they're killed by Israel, neutralized by Israel, their families get it for life. Mahmoud Abbas said this about terrorists. I'm quoting, they were killed, imprisoned, or wounded because of the national interest. And for the sake of the national interest, and not for personal reasons, we will continue to support them. He goes on to say, it's impossible to send a soldier to war and not take care of his family. Israel needs to understand this. It's impossible to send a soldier to war and then not take care of his family, Abbas said. We're talking about someone who acts on behalf and receives orders directly from the Palestinian Authority. Mahmoud Abbas is then quoted in greater detail. I look at the clock it takes. I've got to be judicious about the way that I do this. He says, we've been paying salaries for the families of the martyrs, to the prisoners, since 1965. You think that the American Jewish organizations or the other liberal organizations who support the PA know this? Of course they do. They're smart enough to find the toilet. Mahmoud Abbas said, I demand the release of prisoners, all prisoners in Israel, because they are human beings who did what we ordered them to do. We, the Palestinian Authority. Now, mind you, I am quoting now. And he goes on to say, one ordered the soldier to kill, and I ordered my son, my brother, and others to carry out the duty of resistance. He's a fighter like any other fighter. And I am responsible for him. That's the first of the five that I yanked. Obviously, you can see that I'm making a point. Second, murderers of the Fogel family set to get 50% increase from the PA. It was announced on March 11, 2000, and whatever, that two Palestinian teenagers, 17, 19 years old, brutally murdered. Anyone who lives in Israel knows, if you just mention the Fogel family, they butchered them. There was a censorship, actually, of the photographs which first came out of the murders because all the rooms were completely blood-stained floors, puddles of blood. The families were killed. The terrorists were arrested, and they received a stipend for life. Palestinian Authority, and I'm looking at the chart actually now, comes out with a chart in which they actually show the new method of payment, an increase, a cost of living increase. And it actually shows you time served in prison and how much that particular person will get, the terrorist. 0 to 3 years, 3 to 5 years, 5 to 10 years, 10 to 15, 15 to 20, on and on and on. If that person has a wife, they get a bonus, and it lists the bonus. If they have a child, they get a bonus for each child that they have. If they're residents of Jerusalem, they get extra pay. And if they kill an Israeli resident as opposed to a foreigner visiting Israel, even bigger. The amount of money that they pull for having murdered Jews is significant, sometimes sevenfold what they would get if they were actually laborers working in Israel. It's absolutely remarkable. Now, despite the fact that the PA was complaining about the fact that they didn't have any money because of COVID, they spent 512 million shekels at the time in order to pay these terrorists. It was $315 million. Here, let's go something else. Next headline. PA spokesman, February 7th. PA spokesman vows to continue pay for slay. This is February 7, 2022. PA spokesman vows to continue pay for slay terror towards. The PA spokesman says the leadership led by His Honor, the PA president, Mahmoud Abbas, will continue the constant and ongoing battle over the salaries of the prisoners and martyrs. And he goes on to say that despite the fact that there was pressure from the Western world not to pay these terrorists, but to somehow use fungible means to give it to them as social welfare, he said, we're unashamed. A blessing is sent to our loyal martyrs, our prisoners, and their families. We say to them, to the families of the martyrs, We will defend their rights regardless of the price we'll have to pay. I will not submit to what Israel has requested, that money's not be sent to terrorists. Even if I'm left with one penny, I'll pay it to the families of the martyrs, to the prisoners, and to the wounded, and I will not withhold this from them. Let's go to the fourth example. May 16, 2022. PA chairman vows we will continue to pay allowances to families of martyrs. On Nakba Day, Mahmoud Abbas says he's committed, quote, to the rights of the families of the martyrs and prisoners, and we will support them. Story? Palestinian Authority will continue to pay allowances to the families of the Palestinian prisoners and those killed while carrying out attacks against Israelis. Speaking on Nakba Day, and it goes on to say, explain his justification. The PA remains defiant against those who say that it doesn't look right with the European Union trying to support, and they do support to the tunes of billions of dollars. It doesn't look right. And he basically told the European Union to go to hell. And they, of course, continue to send the money. And here's the last piece. I pulled this one out, actually, because it was announced. Some of you might remember 2001, there was the bombing of the Sabara Pizza place in Jerusalem, in King George and Yaffa Street. 15 people died and 130 were injured. Some of the 130 injured have still not fully recovered. Well, 4 days ago, sadly, a 16th person died after 22 years in a coma. And what does the PA announce? The PA announced that they have already paid, and I'm reading, $1,421,940 to the terrorist who blew up the Sabara Pizza thing, and that they are proud of every payment that they've made to these terrorists. That is the world that we're facing. Let me get back to J Street. Even the Nazis didn't pay its people and their families monthly stipends for life if they murdered Jews. So anyone with an IQ and a pulse understood exactly the point that we're making here. The Palestinian Authority pays to slay. It finances the murder of Jews. And J Street, that despicable lot, invites the architect, Mahmoud Abbas, of this unspeakable crime as the honored guest to its national convention and to a standing ovation. Go look at the short YouTube video that's available out there in Google or YouTube where J Street President Jeremy Ben-Ami, a gutless coward, where he prostrates himself before Mahmoud Abbas as he leans in. Jeremy Ben-Ami leans in to kiss the murderer's hand. We all remember that famous quote attributed to Dante. The hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in the time of moral crisis, maintain their neutrality. J Street and their minions of stooges are not neutral. They actually support the murderous organization while targeting Israel. And we must, of course, wonder, is there a hotter place in hell reserved for them? We rest our case. Stooges. It's the kindest thing that can be said. Well, we've gotten it into the show. You know, we should do this on a daily basis because I've got enough information to go after these half-wits 24/7. Every week we get to the end of the show with so much more to be said. Next Sunday, June 11th, William Wolf will be back with you. It'll be Bill's last appearance on Middle East Radio Forum until he returns once again, as I mentioned, after the medical procedure in September. It's certainly a show you want to listen to. His guest is going to be attorney Farley Weiss. They will discuss Israel's legitimate claim as a Jewish state, historically, politically, legally, and morally. Also, in anticipation of his absence from the broadcast until September, Bill will detail the history of Middle East Radio Forum and its advocacy of a strong and secure Israel, as well as his own life dedicated to the pursuit of human rights activism. On Middle East Radio Forum, regular listeners have come to expect exactly what we have given them, and we will continue to do that. As we sign off, as we always do, we ask you to remember the only people mad at you for speaking the truth are those living a lie. Keep speaking the truth. On this program we do every Sunday, 60 Minutes, we speak it loudly. This is Mayor Jolovitz wishing you well, signing off. Thank you for joining us. Go to hell, J Street. Let's go, Brandon.
General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.